time.
All right. Member Brooks?
Yes.
Member Gaines?
Yes, here.
Chair Lehrman is absent right now. Also attendance is Commissioner Underdunk. And it's 7:01. He's here.
Am I here? I am here.
He's here. I see him. Excellent.
Do we have any matters from the public this evening? Okay, I don't see any. Lisa, would you introduce the review of architectural plans that we're going to embark upon?
I would love to. Here with us tonight is White Architects, Matthew Dugan and Eddie Muniz. I want to say it right so I don't, you know, for our recording.
Duggan and Minos.
Duggan and Minos.
Duggan
and Minos.
Oh, Minos. Okay.
All right.
I learned that quickly.
Duggan and Minos.
What?
Correct us too, please.
I will in his section. Thank you.
I would have thought it was Duggan and Munoz.
Yeah, there was one.
Duggan.
Yes, that would make sense.
Duggan. Okay. So we're going to turn it over to these fine gentlemen to kind of give us an update of some of the remodeling plans for the Aiken Activity Room downstairs and those two washroom areas. So.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for having us. Do we have a... Oh, great.
Do you want the lights down at all? Or?
Yeah, I think it actually might help read some of the slides. If we
Paul got it. Paul has it, because... in your packets, you all have this in your special projects binder?
Okay. Is that off?
I'm not sure you knew. You just got it hot off the presses. Oh, yeah.
Can you brighten those up? He really knows how to use the lights really
well. He does. He's good. Do you think he's our...
people who've mastered them like Paul has?
I think he's our...
I'm Matthew Duggan, project manager of White & Company. We are an architectural engineering firm out of Chicago that unfortunately do a lot of work in the area and also have had a tremendous amount of work with park districts as well. And have been fortunate to start working on the new designs for the center as well. So, and I think you couldn't have found a better spot, I think, for this fitness center in the existing activity room. It's a great size. It's got a great location within the building. And I think it really could become a great asset to the other activities you have here in the program. I'm sure everyone is familiar with the space. If not, here's a few photos of the areas that we've been focusing on. The existing activity room is...
That's a point on there.
Oh. I just think I took the back off of it accidentally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Upper left photo is a photo of the activity room as it is now. It has a vinyl tile floor, probably from the previous use, as well as a stage at the end of the room below the stage. I think there was some storage previously for maybe some of the functions that went on in that space. To the right of that is the concessions area now that's being used for storage. You can see some chairs in there. There is an overhead grill that I think was used when they opened it up for concessions in the past. The bottom left would be the reception desk area as you entered in. And then the photos on the bottom right are of the existing staff shower room that's immediately across the hall from the existing activity center. Which is one of the items that we're also looking at is part of the renovation. And you can see that the bottom, the center of the plan there is where the existing staff shower is now. One of the things that we'll talk about is the staff shower does need just some minor upgrades for accessibility as the way it's designed or built currently. We found a pretty simple solution that we can gain that with. And then what that would do is convert that particular restroom into a single user toilet, sink, lab, and an accessible shower. Right above that is the activity room that we're working with and the stage. And then you can see the room labeled storage is where that former concessions area is. We've been working with the guys at Direct Fitness on a layout they provided for some new fitness equipment. They can get into a little more of the detail, but provides both cardiovascular as well as some strength equipment in there on the main level of the activity center. Up on the stage would be an area for stretching and maybe some light work with the kettlebells up there. What we've added to the former concessions area would now become a personal storage cubbies, not so much a locker room. You won't be getting undressed in there, but you'll be a place where you can secure your purse or your shoes. And it's a bring your own lock. It won't be something that, you know, will have a combination pad or anything on it. It'll be something that your members can bring their own lock and use while they're exercising or using other parts of that facility there. So the idea is that once you've entered through reception, there would be a pair of doors. We're thinking of something very transparent, wooden glass doors that allow visibility right into that. It's really encouraging when you see that activity happening. So we like the idea, even from your reception, to kind of get a peek. If anyone comes down that hall a bit, they'd be able to see some of the people in there as well as the machines. Once you've entered into that, then you would come into the area where you get your locker space or your cubby space. Currently, there's a door off of that corridor. We're proposing taking that door out and closing off that wall. So that way, it kind of keeps all of that locker access within your fitness area. The stage area, which will become the future stretching area, is accessed through both a stair internally, but for accessibility, there's also a door off, you'll see on the south side of the plan there that allows you access there too. So you've actually provided accessibility to that stretching area from the back side of the plan, which is down the corridor where the showers and restrooms. One of the things we're studying along this is it feasible to convert an existing office that's across the hall from the current staff shower restroom into a accessible ADA shower room similar to the staff room? It's something that we're just wanting to study the feasibility of that. What would it take if you wanted, you know, if you had a request for maybe two shower facilities, you have that ability, or you could also just stick with the single one that you have.
This is just an enlarged plan of the modified washroom on the left-hand side. What we are proposing is basically to slide the fixtures down across to your right and provide a forward or front approach for a wheelchair user to then slide over onto the seat and use the facility as they need to. The existing water closet, walk-in water closet, would remain in place. That is accessible how it's currently installed. And for makeup and hair drying, or just getting prepared after you use shower purposes, we're exploring removing the existing lab counter that's wall hung and replacing it with a lab counter that provides some sort of place to put your items either up to the right or left, as the upper right photograph kind of illustrates there.
The sink now is a very narrow, just a single wall hung lab, and it really doesn't give anyone for any personal items.
Excuse me for a moment. So, what are the two spaces at the top of the diagram on the left? The two empty spaces. What is in there now, or what is?
Which
what
one?
Are you envisioning?
Up there?
On the diagram.
On the left and the right.
The left
at the top.
Side of the janitor's existing janitor's closet.
Okay.
And to the right is an existing office. Was laid out an office.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we would not change those at all.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
And the niche that you see just north of the janitor's closet is where your existing water coolers are installed.
Okay.
Your water pumps. The existing office that Matt said we were looking into both feasibility and into just the financial aspect. The layout there is very similar to your existing facility that's been modified. This would provide a side approach to the shower unit. So we're all clear, we're not, the existing prefabricated fiberglass enclosed shower is getting removed, and we're going to tile up the walls just so it has a much cleaner, a more sophisticated look that is more in line with, you know, a competitor, you know, recreation facility in the area. So similar amenities within that room, fully compliant with a Waugham water closet, grab bars, a Waugham lap tree with a place to put your, you know, get ready items, and then the side transfer shower unit at the south wall.
Can I just ask a clarifying question?
Sure.
So your idea then is that somebody could take a shower and get ready after all within that same little room without leaving to go to another room. So what you refer to as the water closet, I guess the one that's furthest east on sort of in the middle of the diagram on the left, that's just that toilet in case somebody needs to use a toilet.
Correct.
Yeah, and that's existing.
Yeah.
And another place for people just to change. So if they don't need to take a shower and they just need to change their clothes, they could go into that one really quickly.
Right. Thanks. And you can correct me if I'm wrong. Is the existing single-user washroom for staff only, or would that be open to the public?
Currently, it's only staff only, but we would open it for the public as another option. I have it staff only right now. So it would be open to the public. So that's another option.
Yeah, I think in terms of equipment, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, there's about 12 cardio machines and maybe like five weights plus kettlebells.
Yeah, there's four select rides, and then there's some free weight area, and then you have your kind of functional items up on that stage area.
Yeah. Per foot is like 150 for exercise rooms. So you're looking at a maximum of no more than 30 possible per code within the room. I think, you know, your two shower rooms and a separate facility are more than enough to accommodate any sort of maximum load factor in there.
Okay. So two would serve the need. Okay. That's good to know.
Go right into the finishes then. We were tasked with looking for carpet in lieu of a rubber, which just kind of gives a much more institutionalized vibe. Generally, most people think of it as just like a black roll with some speckles, not really creating any sort of interest at all. So what we have looked at and what we think is an appropriate option for the flooring within the fitness center would go up the stairwell, the stairs also, and beyond the stage ramp landing. Excuse me.
Bring for them.
It's like bringing the gurney over.
It is. This is good. Yeah. You just put it right in the middle.
Yeah. There is some felt padding below it. It's really, really tightly woven, and this is really geared towards fitness-type facilities with that really, really tight weave. Most commercial carpets, and you just look at this one like this, it's a much looser type of carpet. This is much more dense. The Jeep padding behind it, the felt padding behind it serves two purposes, both for absorption, sun absorption, and just gives a softer feel, but also allows the product to breathe. So one of our first reactions to carpet is, I don't think you want to do that, because most carpet that you're going to get any sort of warranties out of have a rubber backing, which does not allow the product to breathe. And that's where you get a lot of your odor retention. This will allow it to breathe. And so you won't have those problems of odor lingering in the floor surface.
You want to pass it down over here to some too? Just move the table on down.
Yeah.
They like to touch and feel.
Question?
Yes, sir.
It's a little nubby. Does that mean that you won't slide on it when you're
you shouldn't.
Barbells or whatever.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Right.
Yeah,
like
there is some traction.
It's made for traction.
Inherent to the actual
durability. Yeah.
Everybody gets that? So, yeah, it's a product made for this type of use, and it's easily maintained, which is important for this type of use, because you're going to have the spill of water bottles, or, you know, sports drinks, as Eddie said, a very tight weave that it doesn't get into the fibers, so that's one thing that's really important. And as he said, the backing is meant to kind of
allow it to just not retain, like your carpet pad at home might retain those moist, those liquids. This doesn't, it kind of repels it.
So we're also looking at a tile product. So if we have a high traffic area or we have a spill, we can pop the tiles right out and change them out.
Yeah,
so with our attic stock.
So not tile, but carpet.
A carpet
square.
So it's not
removable. Carpet squares, yes. Yeah.
But this is just one big roll.
No, this is carpet squares.
Oh, it's also squares. Oh, this is squares.
This is the actual
okay.
size of it.
Oh, 18 by okay. That's and the critical now, I yeah. think.
Yeah.
And it just squares. Gets popped up if you ever need to do any sort of maintenance or clean underneath it. Or
and that would survive those attendees that are throwing the ball or whatever they're throwing aggressively on the ground. Or dropping their barbells for attention, or
well, I don't think you effect. Have heavy barbells. You have probably
5 through 50.
50, yeah. So it's going to absorb that shock.
Without getting torn up.
Yeah.
Oh, and it will also be on the stage, correct, where those kettlebells may go flying. Okay.
We'll have to do a different sub base underneath it on the stage. Won't just go right down over the tongue and groove, but it will go up.
Oh, right. Okay.
So it gives a little more warm feeling going in.
Yes.
When we did our center tours, most of the ones in this area had a carpet feature. Mm-hmm. I've used a similar carpet in the fitness area, and it lasted over, it's going on 15 years now. And doesn't really, as long as you maintain it properly, which our guys are very good at doing, doesn't hold odors like you'd think your house would. So I think it gets a lot warmer feeling.
So we wouldn't need to purchase any new equipment to maintain it, so it would be able to be cleaned with the existing equipment that we have as well.
And
so
then
we have carpet cleaners. We clean the carpets inside in-house as well.
And then you would buy a certain percentage additional squares.
Correct.
Because, of course, this color will disappear in 5 years.
Exactly.
So we want to have enough for 10 to 15 years, a dye lot, replace maybe 50% of the rooms.
And we really did like the he brought a couple samples. We picked this first one. Do you want to hold that up with the... It just has a subtle colors in it, but very modern look.
We'll just lay it on the floor.
Yeah. Just put it on the floor right there.
Maybe overall, it's very nice. Pretty. The colors aren't going. You have a nice accent strip, but generally the colors aren't a large trend color that you're in 5 years, 7 years thinking, gosh, why did we think that?
Yeah.
No. So this is it's timeless, I'd like to say, but it's got at least a color in there to kind of brighten up and use in other things.
Good.
Yeah. Maybe we can use that at the lakefront path, too.
All right. All right.
The idea also is that you have existing trim or molding on either side of the stage entry door. We really kind of want to either remove that, just make it go away. We could either paint that opening as illustrated on the picture, or just have it blend in with its surroundings. But the idea really for the back of that stage is to have some either pop of color and possibly add graphics or text to it, whether it's a screen printed photo or just vinyl letters with text or phrases on there, just to motivate people to just provide some additional interest. And that's illustrated on the right hand side. What's not illustrated though is we will have to install a guardrail system at the edge of that, just because it is so high up, just 3 feet off the ground. So for code, we do have to. There are some illustrations of possible options, but we're looking at either the vertical picket type, which you currently have going up the stairs, or doing frosted glass. You can do a clear glass with a vinyl application. You can either have blocks of sandblasted vinyl to help obscure view, or you can do, just really there are limited options, or limitless options almost. That we have provided, again, both allowing for privacy up there and just for more interest. Just need kind of a feature.
As a fitness guy chiming in, if you go with a clear product or something like frost or whatever, I wouldn't go with glass per se, especially you got medicine balls up there, you got other things to possibly break. And so I like the frosted idea. I think that's kind of cool, especially at the stretching area. But I would do more like a like a plexiglass type of deal. I'm just thinking of kettlebells maybe smashing into it or rolling. Mm-hmm. Someone drops a ball or something, it rolls over there. Just a bit long, but no. Mm-hmm.
The people will use that railing to assist them with stretching. So you need to make sure that it is stable.
We have money in the budget for reinforcing the an angle up there so that we can attach them appropriately.
Okay. So what do you think about the idea of a frosted plexiglass? I agree. It's not going to be glass, something that shatterproof that in case that, you know, medicine ball or someone kicks
open.
It.
And I like the idea of having it frosted because if I'm laying up there doing, you know, whatever, I don't really want to be on display.
That's what he said.
I mean? You know,
well, how about half and half?
Or squats or whatever. I mean,
I like people to see that I'm up there in case somebody has to help me get up off the floor.
Well, one idea we had was half frosted, so you have some of that privacy, but then clear on the top part so that you have it open.
Yes.
So, because when you're laying down, you don't want everybody to see if you're, you know.
But it's open.
Because you have to remember, they're going to be on the ground, the stage, so their eye level is right there.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to say.
Well, I mean, there's lots of impact-resistant materials out there that I think we can look at. I mean, I don't think that we're considering any type of single pane or anything like that. I mean, we definitely want to, you know, as Mike touched on, not let it get broken. At the same time, you know, there's lots of different products. I mean,
okay.
Choices are really endless.
Yeah. So is that the direction we want to move in?
I think we obviously need to have, according to code and safety considerations, we need to have a banister of some sort.
We could do, instead of frosted glass, you could do on a guardrail system like that, or I believe in your offices you just had
cables
running across. We could do something like that.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking the heavy piano wire or the plastic.
It does obscure your view, so if that's something, it might be a combination of a frosted panel and cables that kind of create some interest.
Whatever is affordable.
Okay.
Yeah, as long as when you're laying down doing something, you wouldn't be open to display, but you could. And I agree. You want to be able to see out, otherwise you feel really
right.
You feel very claustrophobic up there otherwise.
So maybe a combination of the two. Mm-hmm. Is that possible drawing? Okay, perfect. All right. As far as what we're going to put on the back of the stage, we have not determined that yet. We're going to, you know, bring Erin in and look and see if we want to do something motivational or just a color choice or something like that. So that's to be determined, but it's a great idea.
You could put a ballet bar on the back if you wanted that to be used for the stretching as opposed to the railing.
There's a lot of equipment back there, so it's showing blank, but there's going to be a lot of stuff back there.
Hanging.
But in our diagram, when Mike comes up, you'll see that. So right now it looks blank, but it's going to be stuff in the back. So.
Do we need to address lockers at this point?
Now we're going next to locker. Are we ready for lockers? Oh, not yet.
Get into the restroom.
We're going to do restroom fixtures, and then we'll go lockers.
Put them down on the ground again. Very simple. But just complementary colors that work with the carpet that we're suggesting. The mosaic tile, the 1x3s, they're all, it's a cool gray system. The mosaic tiles would go on the shower floor, just provide slope, and then the darker tiles would go on the floor of the remainder of the balance of the washrooms. Right here. Okay, so you have your mosaic would go only within the actual shower unit itself, and then outside of it in the water closet area, you have the darker gray tile in a 6x24-inch format, and then on the walls we would go to a larger format, 12x24, in the lighter white color or off white color. The wall tile will only go on your wet walls, so right here and right here, and the balance of the walls will be painted.
It's a very classic color. It's very, you know, not trendy. It'll stand the test of time.
Yeah. I've used that particular line, Frostful Shades, probably for the last 4 or so years in a multitude of different environments. It is one of their hottest selling lines, and it's not going anywhere. It really isn't. Another great thing, most of that stuff is about 10 days quick ship, and it's really easy to obtain.
other line, you know, that's coming from Italy, can take weeks and weeks to get here. And, it's just, it's a really great program. It really is.
And changing the size is a little bit more elegant, if you will, than your 4x4 that's in there now. It's very institutional looking now. Mm-hmm. The restaurant is here. Yeah. You know, great school bathroom. So this is going to elevate it with the larger format tiles, mm-hmm. taking on both the floor and then up the wall. It's really going to raise the look of the room.
The reason why we're using two different size tiles is because the rooms aren't as large as, say, traditional locker room, and so we felt it was more appropriate to use your 6x24 format on the floors, just so it don't feel so oversized for the room, and then just really for maintenance, have a larger format on the walls.
It's less grout lines.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Again, and we'll use a dark gray.
The darker on the floor is why, you know, it shows that you'll use a darker grout with that. You're not going to be, you know, dealing with trying to keep it clean.
I think the final thing, lockers. We initially were thinking of just doing cubbies in the event that, you know, a lady wanted to leave her purse or a small bag in there, more along the size of this four high. And they're a bring your own lock type of feature. And then as we were discussing earlier this week, we also understand that sometimes, you know, it's obviously winter here a lot in Chicago. I've learned that my first year here. So the idea is to do it more two-thirds, one-third, two-thirds of your two-high. That's illustrated on the top that allows someone to hang a jacket and not get it all bunched up or dirty or touch the bottom, really, if you're even wearing, like, a mid-thigh jacket. So about two-thirds or about, you know, I think we said about 20 of those lockers at that height and style, and then the balance of them, about 12 or so, would be those four high cubbies that are about, I think, 14 or 15 inches tall. So that, again, would be a place where somebody can put their shoes they walked in with, or a purse, or something of that nature, lock it,
phone, cell phone.
I'm not a big fan of the lockers that are on the upper picture, with the unusual shape. That's what we have at the J where I'm going now. And it does accommodate a men's sport coat lying down or a windbreaker, but if the purpose there is to accommodate any sort of insulated jacket, they don't really. It is caught on the shorter shelf and it doesn't really leave you enough room for street shoes anywhere in there because of that. That's really the biggest thing. It doesn't leave you any room for street shoes in there. I think we're better off. We were talking at one point of having some room for jackets, for outer jackets, on a rack or hooks somewhere.
We still will. We'll have it in the vestibule, but right when you come in, we'll have hooks outside there. So, thank you.
Yes,
that area?
You just hang your coat before you walk in.
But not everybody likes just to hang their coat.
My feeling is the half size and the full size long lockers are more appropriate in a conventional locker room where people are changing. And the cubbies are pretty adequate for people that are coming dressed to work out that are looking for essentially a small, safe locker.
Well, I think you have to have some of the other ones for the people that are staying and showering.
Conventional half-height rectangles without the step in them.
Did you have an option of that one in there?
Yeah, they come in.
Yeah, the darker ones.
This one right here.
See the darker
ones? So go with that one
instead. Those are terrific.
Yep. Okay.
That's
okay.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Take photos in the locker room.
That's the rules, I'm sure. No, that's. So you prefer the bottom one as opposed to the top?
I prefer the bottom.
Okay, perfect.
Lockers.
That's it. I thought you meant just go with all the small ones. Yeah. I'm like, okay, perfect.
I don't like the lockers in the top picture.
Okay.
They don't accommodate.
That's great feedback.
That's great feedback.
Shoes,
so we want to go with those
or
ones.
Or any sort of winter coats.
Okay. That's great feedback.
And there's a bench in there, too.
There's a bench in there.
Yeah. Okay.
And then there'll be a bench outside in the vestibule also.
Oh, good.
And also the towel service and drop in that same room.
Yes. So the lockers are, we'll have a towel drop and a shelf for clean towels and things like that.
Can I get a little more feedback on the lockers?
Yeah.
First, I just want to sort of unofficially second what Steve said about the size of the lockers. I've been at a lot of gyms in the last 5 years, and two things that have consistently been a problem are either bringing your own lock, because you're guaranteed to forget it, or second, those electronic ones where you type in a code, they always seem to break. I've been at two or three gyms where a third of them seem, it's, you get all your stuff in there and then the lock doesn't work. But what I've seen working really well are these mechanical locks, people want to spin with your thumb.
I will say, because I've been in all three of those gyms, my current one has mechanical ones, more than once, because over time, it works as like a combo, and like you can feel like the whatever mechanism it is that catches the wheel as it turns, over time that mechanism starts to slip, and you can be unaware of any slight movement, and then suddenly your three, which you think is a three, suddenly moved to the four, you've locked it, walked away, and come back, you're like, what happened? It's not that difficult, really, they just insert a key and open it, but they do fail over time.
And they're not super ADA compliant either, the little wheels.
Right, they're not.
The numbers are real. They
can't be ADA compliant either.
Well, I see more for a place like this, more of a master lock than a digi-lock. The digital locks, I mean, I've been, a lot of participants have come to me actually asking about lockers recently for some reason the last couple of weeks. And
absolutely do that.
The digital locks are really high maintenance.
Yeah.
The batteries go, and then you forget your combo, and they're really hard to get into. So I would say for this purpose, a master lock would be probably the right way to go. I mean,
and we could always have locks available at the front desk.
Right.
I was going to ask.
We could do a lock and key system. If someone forgets it, they can come get one and do something like that. It'd be less. It would be a lot cheaper for the park district and less maintenance.
Yeah.
We're doing that at the beach already successfully.
Yeah, we are.
Okay. Yep. All right. Good.
Yeah.
All right.
Good input, though. Very good.
Exactly.
All right. Anything else? Colors of the lockers? Do you have chips or anything?
Yeah. So really, they're wood laminate lockers, and pretty much what's up there is more like this cinnamon, darker cinnamon tone. We've also seen them in a medium tone, and Biogen had pretty much that maple color. But for the purpose of this, you just feel like a wood look warms up the space. Just a hair gives it a little more sophisticated look.
The floor in that space.
Yeah. It would be the same carpet.
The carpet. Same carpet. I like the darker. Darker
like
we can go.
You do. It's all subjective. I say the designers should weigh in on this, because I just like the light, because I think it's more modern, and I think it's, you know, you always want as much light as possible, and now, you know, everything's gray and so forth, and there's not a lot of light. There's no light in that room. That's my only thinking.
I've honestly seen it both ways. Like I said, the bottom left is my gym. My gym back in D.C. was the light maple.
Yeah.
They all hold up. They all look perfectly fine. It's really more personal preference. Or maybe if you have a particular wood, you know, here already on some of your doors that you kind of want to mimic.
I'd like to match whatever we go with when we do the wood door in there. So think about that.
Makes sense.
Think of that. So should we match something like this? Because this is pretty much what we all do.
Yeah, continuous throughout the whole building. All
And whatever's in the lobby, which I've forgotten. Yeah. There's always.
That'd be a good idea.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. So something to match the lobby and this furniture.
Okay.
That's good feedback. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Is that it?
I think that covers everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, do you have the thing? So now we talk money. my favorite thing.
See, we handed out the packets first, but not the money.
Cool. Okay, so as a stand, you're going to get the version of what it costs. So as you remember, we budgeted originally for this project at $360,000, and with the option of another $100,000 for the second washrooms. So right now, with the to do the fitness room and redo the one bathroom and that, the toilet upgrade, and bring it to ADA compliance with the contingency. We're at, for construction, just making sure I have this right one, 162,360, then you add another $100,000 on for the fitness equipment, and then some other things like IT data, other incidentals like garbage cans, you know, all that kind of stuff. We're up to 309,860. So as of right now, we are under budget for the fitness area, the locker room, and the one bathroom.
My concern with the budget as I see it presented is truly with the contingency of 15%. Having been in town for various projects that have been undertaken in this building, I just think that we should give ourselves more wiggle room
Let's talk
you guys have really looked around and are comfortable with what you have found.
Paul, can you turn the lights on?
So one of the things you'll notice is we're not moving any walls.
Right,
so
that's the difference.
We're not changing any foundations, we're not changing any windows, we're not, we are, through the scope of this, we're effectively changing finishes. This first scope has a bathroom. We already have a bathroom there. We already have water there. We already have drainage there. We already have electric there.
Right.
So
we're not moving walls.
You know, we're not moving walls.
So we're not dancing with Pandora.
Exactly.
I
gotcha.
Far less concerned about, you know, finding that asbestos that we're all worried about or something of that nature that can totally blow out a project budget that, you know, once you open it up and you find it, you say, oh, we've got to deal with this. Mm-hmm. So I think a 15% contingency on a project like this is pretty generous. I mean, I don't know if you guys want to...
Yeah, and to your point, there isn't much renovation of walls and new walls, and the one risk is the plumbing. We know where it's at. We've got drawing that we know there's plumbing there. It's going to be getting to it, and I think you're well covered with that. The other area that we want to make sure, which we've already have a budget in there, is making sure that we can support the railing properly. Mm-hmm. And we've already put money in the number. It's just when you kind of take apart a little bit the edge of the stage, we'll learn a little bit more. But this is where we would typically see a project like this at 15%.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
If you're known to change your mind, I'm not saying our clients that we have that are very fickle, we always, you know, put that because it's early in the design phase. So they may be saying, you know what, we want to actually move the locker room to a different part of the building or something.
That's, yeah, we don't seem to do that dance a whole lot.
We don't, yeah.
We no. Might drive you a little crazy at the beginning up front with talking through things,
then
we're moving on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then we asked them to look at the additional restroom in that existing office right now. So the estimated construction cost of that would be $59,274 with a contingency of 12%. And additional design fees of $10,000, so that brings that additional restroom up to $74,148. Mm-hmm. So the total project with everything above and equipment and everything would be $384, give or take a couple hundred. So that would take us over budget by, you know,
$27,000-$28,000.
Mm-hmm.
And Lisa,
how do you feel about that, Carol?
Well, over budget of the 360,
right?
But then we added 100, so it's really under the 460 amount. So I feel pretty good about it, quite honestly, from that perspective.
You're happy about it?
And just Lisa, real quickly.
Sure.
This includes everything: the exercise mats, the dumbbells,
everything.
Everything.
Everything's included
okay,
in that
the
price.
The paint.
Everything.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk a little bit about the savings of a second ADA accessible bathroom. So one of the ideas that White brought to us is if we present one ADA accessible bathroom, we only need one. So if we make that ADA accessible bathroom our new bathroom, we do have a cost savings in the old bathroom because we're not having to do as much renovation. So by bundling them together, we're not necessarily saving money, but we're avoiding having to spend additional money. We're capturing those dollars that
we would then have to spend anyway.
Right. So what you're saying, if we came back a year from now and said we need a second bathroom, it probably wouldn't be this 59 or this 74 figure. It would probably be more in the $100,000 range, maybe $120,000 range.
We'd be tearing up our old bathroom.
And we'd be probably more than that then, because we're tearing up what we already did to put a new bathroom in, and then no savings on the ADA for that first bathroom.
So if I understand this right, the basic proposal is going to have a water closet, a simple bathroom, and we're separately, in the basic proposal, going to have a bathroom with a shower in it.
So there is, in the basic proposal, there is no work to be done in that existing water closet. So
understood.
That's as is.
But, right. But we're going to have two rooms in the basic proposal with a toilet. One of them is also going to have a shower. They're both going to have a toilet and a lavatory. Correct. One of them is going to have a shower.
Correct. Yes.
So we'll always have a place for somebody. We'll have more turnover, faster turnover, hopefully.
If they don't need to take a shower. If they just need to change their clothes, they can go in there and change their clothes.
And this would give us the option to have a second shower,
yes.
A second full complete bathroom. Okay. What's your feeling on it, you guys?
Really a tough call. Because you can think about it, no one's going to use the shower. We live so close by. We're all in a quick radius. But if you have two people lined up wanting showers before they get on the 8 o'clock train, there's going to be fistfights back there. Get out of there, you know?
Well, usually...
I don't know how to weigh in on this. It's very hard to predict.
Usually in my experience with a small fitness area like this, there was always one in the female locker room. They had one. They had three showers. There was always one person taking a shower in the women's locker room. I'm assuming the same thing was happening in the men's at different times, probably only during the busiest time. So probably in the morning, mm-hmm. really,
yep.
is when you get the biggest use, right?
Right. That's right.
There's to say, yes, people live close, but mm-hmm. if people come to work out, do they really want to go back home, even if it's 5 minutes?
No.
Because then they're distracted and whatever.
And, go.
And you
yeah.
want to get in your clothes uh-huh. and run to the train.
Yep.
And if you're running to the train, it only takes someone one or two times that they had to wait. You know, there's... If it came in at $100,000, or and this project came at $350 and we're still at $74, I might say no. But if it's only, and I know it's only, but let's do it right the first time, put it in, and I don't know what you think,
right?
What?
You could just bid it out that way. And then
right. Well, yeah. I mean, well, we're going to do the drawings. We're going to pay for the design. I don't want to. Say, let's wait to see what the bids say. I want to say if you want to do it. If it goes over budget, then you just...
Excuse me.
Yeah.
You had mentioned, we academics call it a parallel case analysis, but you also looked at the North Field facility.
Yes, we did.
Did they have two showers?
They have two showers, yes. Yes.
And are they used?
Yes, they are. I called the director today, and I said, you know, have to do it again, would you do two showers? And he said, absolutely. You know,
I was going to do the same thing.
Yeah, right? You did the work, right?
Almost the exact same makeup, and they have two showers, and I asked the same question. They were both used, so.
Yeah, it's very comparable, so that's why I asked.
I think that sometimes when you do things in advance, or in this case, do them at the same time, there is a savings that we're discussing. And I'm always in favor of having more toilets around.
The slogan of your current presidency.
Always in favor of having more bathrooms around.
I think this is a good value for what we're getting. To get right off of our main lobby, to get another handicap accessible private bathroom versus our more school type bathrooms mm-hmm. that are closer to the gymnasium and that.
True.
These are what I would call adult bathrooms, and I think that they would be. I think it's money well spent.
Now, these are accessible to the lobby.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, they are. So when you come in the lobby, you go straight. You know, we're going to the ceramics room
mm-hmm.
when we took our tour last week.
Mm-hmm.
You just go down the hallway to this bathroom. Yes.
And then, if you're after you change, how do you get into the multi-purpose room? You have to go around through the doors?
You'd have to go through that main entrance.
Or you could go through the stage.
No, we cannot. We're locking that door. You can go out that door, but we're not going to keep that door open because they can't scan in. What? For accessibility, we would allow that, yeah. So if we saw someone that needed that, we would just go open it up. But I don't think we have to keep it open all the time.
I'm in favor of it.
Okay.
I'm in favor of it.
I think if we don't do it, we wish we had. And
yes.
I think we do run a risk of doing it and saying no one's ever using it, but I think the downside and balancing those two cost benefit, I think we probably should go ahead and do the deal.
Right, exactly. I agree. All right, so a recommendation is to approve I think I have it here.
You have a variety.
I do. I have a variety of things here.
This is the
Lakefront
Desk.
I have the wrong one.
Yeah. No, it's coming next.
It's coming next. It's coming next. Literally.
No problem.
I will. I don't
have enough. Okay, so.
I'm just trying to review your various proposals so we can make the right.
Okay. And you can make your own too. There's.
I'm thinking it's two of two.
Yes, it's two of two.
Okay. I would direct staff, based on the discussion of the committee present, to forward architectural plans for TACA Fitness Area second shower room plans to the board for approval at our April 18th regular meeting.
Excellent. Member Brooks?
Yes.
Member Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk, just for the heck of it?
Yes.
Do you
support that? Because I'm not on the committee.
No, but, you know, I like it.
Concept that we should work.
Let me know the votes.
Okay. Terrific.
Good. Okay, thank you.
So is there anything else we need, Dwight?
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
The only other question I did have, I'd already asked Chris once, and he thought that it would be, you know, that stage area, as we open things up and you get to look underneath and see how it's really put together, I'd like to make sure that it can support a 15-pound kettlebell bouncing off it.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll have to do that.
Otherwise, we'll have to take those down from there.
The next step, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. All right.
Thank you.
Good presentation. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. We'll give you a call tomorrow. Okay.
Next, I'd like to introduce Mike, Paul, and Mike from Direct Fitness.
All right. So we are going to be kind of taking you on a virtual
Lisa,
tour.
We're going to hold on to the samples, correct?
Can we? Or do we need to take them back? Okay, perfect. Thank you. That way, Commissioner Underdunk, for next week, we can look at them.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Perfect.
I can move them, though, I suppose.
So we're going to be taking you on a little bit of kind of a virtual tour of the room here. We're going to go over all the pieces of equipment that Mike selected for us, try and explain a little bit about, you know, why we picked them, how we picked them, keeping in mind that our goal here is as much versatility, as much total body workout as possible in the space that we have. So I'm going to turn it over to Paul. He's going to start with some of the cardio equipment. I'm going to take over strength, and we're going to ask Mike to jump in at any time if we forget anything or miss anything.
Yes, so we're going to start with the cardio. So I'm going to, for this presentation, I'm going to call this our cardio wall. So really with the cardio equipment, we wanted to focus on having a variety. So say we have a very high frequency user that comes 5 times a week, they'll always have a different type of machine that they can really, they can switch and alternate on from day to day. So obviously treadmills, very common, very popular. The current layout, we have four. We have it along the wall facing the parking lot, so you can look down at the screen, you can look out the windows. Really, it's just going to be the first feature you see when you walk in, so it really kind of pops. Moving on, we have the ellipticals. Currently, we have two in the proposed layout. It's a very low impact cardio machine, popular among different demographics of people. Simulates running without the joint impact. It's along the wall, facing the parking lot, windows to look outside, screens for if you want to watch a movie, TV, that sort of thing.
Let me ask, what are you envisioning will be able to appear on these screens that are built in at each of the cardio things?
Good question. Anything. You could bring your, you can hook up your iPad to it. You can hook up your iPhone with it, music. And then we also have the internet capabilities.
Okay.
Do you
want
to oh, here we go.
Yeah.
He's
the
expert.
Cable, I think you guys decided on DirecTV.
We haven't.
Okay, whatever you decided. So there'll be TV, live
that
TV.
That was my question.
Right?
So there'll be some.
There's also on demand videos, there's on demand TV content, there's blogs, there's news articles, I mean, you name it. You can search the web on it, there's a Google search engine part of it. So, sky's the limit on this stuff.
Okay, I just wanted to know if we were envisioning having
tech,
a cable or dish subscription so we could watch TV.
One of the two. Yes, we haven't decided which ones.
So there'll be some television capability.
Is that like noise from everybody's TV?
No, you can't hear it unless you're plugged in.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to be, okay, okay.
So we'll have, technology-wise, we'll have all the everything on the cardio wall here. We'll have a TV on it, the bikes will have TVs on them, and then we'll also have a TV in this corner and this corner for anyone using the strength equipment.
Oh boy.
So we can cancel our home.
Well, you really
can. Yeah.
Just, come and live here.
Just come to the gym.
It's amazing, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, if we were down there now, we could be watching the Hawks game while we were having this meeting.
Yeah, it's first intermission, and the bad guys are winning 1-0.
You're not keeping track, Steve, right?
I just got an update.
Do you all know the difference between an elliptical, AMT, and a treadmill? Okay.
Yeah.
So
the different benefits. And
the cardio, all the cardio pieces will have the screens. So then moving forward, we'll talk a little bit about the bikes. So all of the bikes are going to be back along by the stage. We'll start with the spin bikes. Very popular with cyclists, low impact. You know, it's going to be similar to the Peloton type of bike. So you can adjust distance, time, resistance, you know, on the screen. Again, a functional screen that has a lot of different features.
This piece of equipment came after the last meeting. I think Stephanie mentioned that this is a really popular piece with certain demographics. So.
Absolutely. So currently we have two in the proposed layout. So again, I'll be back along with the other bikes. Next, moving back to the cardio wall, is the AMT. So again, another low impact machine, different type of movement. It works along the same lines as an elliptical, treadmill, and stepper, all kind of mixed together. So currently we have one of those in the proposed layout. Moving back to the bikes, upright bike, a little bit easier, more comfortable seat when compared to the spin bike. Very low impact again. More comfortable seat, obviously. It'll be positioned in front of the stage, along with the other bikes. Currently, we have one in the proposed layout. Recumbent bike, so this is even easier on the user. You can sit back, easier on the back. So again, low impact, popular with many different demographics. You know, it's a very easygoing seated position. Currently, we have one in the layout again. Next, we have the new steps. So that's a very low impact, recumbent type seat. Again, smooth, natural motion. So it uses your arms and your legs, cardiovascular strength and workout. We have these positioned in the middle of the room. So very easy access, easy to get to. For everybody to easily see and access.
Yeah, and those are, I mean, the reason why we put those in there was because twofold. One, maybe for an older population, they're very, very popular. Two, they're very, very ADA compliant. The seat swivels sideways, so very easy to get on and off of, and ADA compliant that way as well. So you always want to have at least one or two Uber ADA compliant pieces in their facility, and that would kind of check off that box.
And are they're adding more in Northfield?
Yeah,
right.
They added one of these, and they already added an additional recumbent bike.
Oh, okay.
Why?
Demand. So it was always being used. There was a wait for recumbent uh-huh. style. So they didn't have any. They just went with one recumbent and one upright bike. They didn't have the option of the other bikes with the screens on it. So they're going to get. They're getting one of these. They have already purchased an additional recumbent bike. Right?
Do they have the Peloton or spinny type bikes?
They do not.
As I mentioned to you before the meeting started, the new step. At the clubs I go to, typically one has been adequate. I would say it's the one piece that my therapists on my staff use with our patients the most. Mm-hmm. So it is a very important piece of equipment, especially for people who have some strength or stability issues. I'm really hoping that we have a strong appeal to our active seniors here in the community. And I'm excited that we proposed to. I'm not so sure we'll be using two, but we'll know if we're hitting a chord with our seniors, mm-hmm. And we'll see if we need to swap a Peloton or spinning bike for another recumbent, because mm-hmm. I see those are popular at every club I go to.
Yeah, and Steve and I were speaking on the way in. The great thing about Direct Fitness is that 3 months down the line, you say, you know what, Mike, we're really not using this new step. I'm not going to say, well, tough luck. You know, you bought it already. We'll trade it in for a different piece without charging anything. So
right.
we're nimble enough and small to do that and local, you know, so we can do that without blinking an eye. So if we see that we need another treadmill or we need an additional bike, we can certainly accommodate you guys without a really penalty unless that other item costs more. It would just be an additional.
I appreciate that. And we'll have the technology, I'm told, to be able to monitor the usage
mm-hmm.
and then get back to you and hold you to your word.
Correct.
Great. Love it.
That's how Northfield found out that they needed another recumbent bike, because it is an unstaffed facility, unmanned
okay.
facility, they call it. So they ran a report on their desktop, which you'd be able to do on time of use and all that, and they saw that the recumbent bike was being used all the time. So that's how they came to that.
All right. Next up, not cardio, but we're going to talk about the stretch trainer. So obviously, we're kind of going to focus the stage as a stretching type area. So that's where we place the stretch trainer. Very easy to use. They have diagrams on the front of it, so how to use it, how to do the stretches properly. So pretty basic piece of equipment that you do see in a lot of different gyms. And then we'll focus the stage on the stretching area.
All right, so I'm going to take the strength equipment. So we've got in the middle here, next to the new steps, we've got four pieces of cabled strength equipment. It's they're multifunctional so that you can get a pushing and a pulling. So again, the goal here is with the small amount of space we have, we've got a couple different workouts on each machine. So starting with the multi-press, it's a bench press, incline press, and shoulder press. So it works out upper body, chest, shoulders, arms. This is the first of our two upper body pieces of equipment. We've got two upper body and two lower body. So you can see it's right in the middle here, and we just have one of those. The next piece of equipment we have is the leg press and calf extension. So again, the opportunity for multiple exercises that gets a lot of lower body muscles, the quadriceps, the glutes, the lower legs. And again, it's right in the middle. So in theory, you could get a nice circuit going on all those four pieces of equipment. The leg extension curl, again, the machine has an adjustable knob so that you can either push or pull with your legs, so you get a different muscle group exercise, two different exercises, one machine. And then we finish the four strength with the bicep curl tricep extension. So again, it's our second upper body machine, and it again allows, it's got the pull and the push feature based on whether you adjust the lever or not. So we've got two different exercises, one machine. So in addition to the four cable machines, we've got a Smith machine, which is a variety of different exercises, upper body, lower body, squats, bench press. And the important part is it's also cabled, so you can do it safely, so you don't need a spotter if you're doing a bench press or anything like that. Also included in the quote we got is the plates for that as well. And you'll also see later, we also have a couple of benches as well, which are incline, decline, and flat benches. So you can do incline press, decline press, and a regular bench press, all using one machine here. On the same wall, on the back wall here, that's going to be mirrored. We've got a functional strength trainer. Again, a huge variety of exercises that can be done here. Lots of different attachments, lots of different handles. A nice little guide here to give you a little overview of what type of exercises you can do. So again, upper body, lower body, total body workout, one machine. Lastly, along this wall, we've got our three-tier dumbbell rack, which 5 to 50 pounds, right? So we opted for more of the middle weights as opposed to going all the way up to 75 pounds. Again, assuming this isn't, Globo Gym, Life Fitness. It's a smaller gym. So this we thought it would be more pertinent to have more of the middle level weights. Up on the stage, the stretching area. Again, we talked about having our two benches here, so we'll have those. We'll have a weight plate set. We'll have a medicine ball set. We'll have two fitness balls, fitness mats, mat rack, and then we would again be able to look at this area. It's a great area for doing exercises that don't require machines, so walking lunges, push-ups, sit-ups, anything like that. And then who knows, depending on how that area is used, looking at it, introducing TRX to that area, or again a number of different things that could enhance that area without making it too crowded and overwhelming.
I didn't see a bench or piece of equipment specific for sit-ups and other back or abdominal exercises.
So these benches right here, we'd be able to use for that.
Okay.
But we don't, you could do a military press or anything like that. We don't have an actual bench, weight bench for a bench press, but this plus the dumbbells we have would serve that need as well as a Smith machine.
Right, and I'm saying I didn't
the sit-up
see,
sit-up
and I would see those benches down by the Smith machine.
They
sure,
yeah, they will be. They won't be up on the stage.
Yeah,
right.
They're not.
And I would see up on the stage something that would encourage or facilitate sit-ups.
Okay.
Besides a mat on the floor.
Okay, something we can look at for sure.
That's right. Do you have something like that?
It's not that I do sit-ups, but I've seen people do them.
And is there an extra piece of equipment we can add for that?
There's a piece that goes with those four larger pieces. That's a crunch and a back extension.
No, I wasn't thinking of that. I was thinking of a bench or something.
Well, they have those.
Where you hook your feet.
They're residential pieces where the crunch, right where you're laying down, your head kind of cranks your head forward. It's not really the best.
No, I'm not thinking that either.
I think he's thinking the bench.
I think there's a decline bench.
I'm just thinking it's some sort of bench. It's actually not even that long. It's just a way of locking your legs in, and you can go on it and do your front or
a decline bench,
something like that. But it has a way of catching your ankles.
Yeah, correct.
That's all I was thinking.
Yeah,
that's the military and the benches don't have a way of catching your ankles.
Correct.
These sit-up things have a way of catching your ankles.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And
bless you.
For one of those, you're talking about $300-$400 for a bench, a decline.
Well, just keep in the back of our mind. That
definitely
might be something that people ask for.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yep.
We have one in Shelton Park, just saying.
We do. We do have one in Shelton Park.
Oh, that's so uncomfortable. Have you laid down on that thing?
I do it every day.
That's torture.
250 sit-ups every single day before I get to work. Even hold the baby above my head while I do it.
I'm so relieved.
Good deal.
But that is an uncomfortable bench.
So, summarizing here, again, we want a high quantity of cardio equipment with a lot of versatility. Like Paul mentioned, to vary people's aerobic exercise if they come multiple times a week. The strength equipment provides the ability for a total body workout with fitting inside the footprint that we have. The nice stretching area, again, more versatility for non-equipment-based exercises. And again, our overall fitness is on the efficient use of the space, that unintimidating environment like we talked about with the frosted glass and everything. And then, like Mike mentioned earlier, the flexibility for change if we find we've got to swap things in and out. So, Mike, anything you want to add to that?
The pre-core accent colors match your carpet.
All right.
Perfect. It's like it was meant to be.
It's like you would think it would.
I think you hit it all. What I did when I saw the space is just try to offer you guys, like Mike said, a wide variety for the younger group that tends to trend towards strength training. We had that three weight area on the opposite wall of the windows. Someone that maybe a little bit newer exerciser, they can go through those four strength pieces without having to think much about it and do a circuit there. And then you have the 70%ers that they're going to use the cardio. So we try to offer a variety of thing for whether it be a younger person all the way up to the active aging group. So
have you thought up on the stage area of having some of the Elastotape, you know, for resistance and that. Have you discussed that?
Yeah, certainly something we can look into.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at like anywhere from $8 to
$18. No, I get that, but yeah, I just wanted to make sure that you had thought of that, that you thought of the mats that are thicker than the typical yoga mats that we use, that seniors like more for stretching.
Yeah, we have a lot of that stuff currently in the fitness store, the fitness studio storage areas, okay, so we do have some of that on site already.
Yep. I have a question.
Please.
Hubbard Woods is expanding their fitness area.
Hubbard Woods?
Winnetka Community House?
Sorry, yeah. Winnetka Community House. And I heard that it was because they needed more floor space because there was a demand for floor space for exercise. Do you know anything about that? And how will this, you know, we're really limited. We can only do what we can do. That stage area, you want it to be big, but it really isn't very big. I'm concerned about putting more, layering more and more stuff there. That's question one. And two, will those medicine balls, are they used a lot now?
Mm-hmm.
They are used a lot now.
Yeah.
Because if two people, or I don't know, I guess you'd need two people to do it, right?
No, people use, one person to use those.
Oh, you throw them up in the air? What do you
just do different exercises with them.
A lot.
Okay. All right, because I was just saying, if you really are tossing them, there can only be two people up there.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
I mean, it's less tossing.
You lift them like a weight. That's
the point. Mike made a great point earlier to be a little conscious of what type of barrier we put up there, because people will be dropping, you know, there's nothing that's going to stop people from bringing free weights, dumb barbells up there, so certainly something to be conscious of. They are used, and I think we'll see some use in them as well. And then to answer your first question about the expansion, I think Northfield kind of found that out firsthand, again, very similar to our project. They are looking to add more stretching space. They had almost none to start.
Correct.
Are you familiar with the stretching area at the Winnetka Community House yourself?
We went and looked at it. I don't know.
Because I worked out there for 4 months this year.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go downstairs from the main level there where the check-in desk is essentially their cardio room.
Right.
And then you go down the 8 stairs, and immediately upon getting downstairs on your left is a mirrored wall.
Oh,
and that small little enclave is the stretching area. Mm-hmm. The wall in front of you on the left is a longer wall, and people have typically put the large inflatables there on a mat and doing sit-ups and other things there, but the stretching was typically done there, and it was probably less than half the size of what they needed, and now more and more people are doing that, so I hope that they're going to triple the size of that, because that was a very uncomfortable thing. You'd be stretching in constant contact with people around you.
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with that place.
Still bowling alley.
Yeah, as you go down the stairs, it's right in front of you. So I think the stage is almost tailor-made perfect for that kind of, it's big enough, it's perfect, tailor-made for a stretching functional area.
Yeah.
I think it's perfect.
Good.
Dudley?
Question. Could you fill us in a little bit about the management of the machines and who's going to take care of them, and how, and the kind of a warranty that comes with it, and that sort of thing?
You want to speak about
it? I can speak to it. Straight out of the box, you got a 2-year parts and labor warranty. So that's one of it. The second part is Paul or Mike at their desktop will have access to all the cardio machines. All they do is log in, and they can see the status of all the cardio machines, whether it's down, whether it's in use.
Cool.
It's pretty slick, right? And it sends them an alert if something's not functioning. Direct Fitness is was the first company, actually, back when it was started, to be next day service. So if you have a treadmill down and you call me Wednesday afternoon, Thursday morning, I'm coming with a partner fixing it. So you're never going to have a piece down for longer than, say, 12 hours, and that's including overnight, you know? So as far as service-wise goes, you know, we're literally the best company around for that. Secondly, you guys chose Precor, which is the top of the line cardio equipment. They have less than 1% warranty claims on their cardio equipment. So this stuff is going to last you in this facility as long as it's clean and you take care of it. 7 to 10 years without even thinking about it.
Is there a maintenance program for the machines part of the purchase?
Yeah, that would be separate. That would be an additional contract, which I forwarded to Paul, actually. And generally, a space this size, you'll do it twice a year, right? So You know, maybe in the springtime, after the big rush, you do preventive maintenance, and then maybe once before, like Thanksgiving time, right before Thanksgiving, when it really starts ramping up, you do another preventive maintenance. We have a team of people that just handles that every single day, 5 days a week. They're right now, if you try to schedule a preventive maintenance with us, I think we're 4 months out. So they literally do preventive maintenance, and that's all they do. So we don't third-party shop anything else. All our own technicians that do that. So. And I forwarded Paul a list of services, kind of like when you bring in your car to get a tune-up, a list of services that for each piece, for a treadmill, we do this, and this. So that extends the life of your cardio by years if you do that once or twice a year.
And we would include that fee into our operational budget, not our construction budget.
Okay.
Yeah, you wouldn't need, say you bought, if you do this project in 2017, you wouldn't need to start until... Yeah. The second or the third quarter of 2018.
So you brought up the car analogy. How often do you see recalls?
I mean, you'll have an off, like a screen will go down, but I mean, that tends to happen within the first couple of years under a warranty. Like I said, Precor has the best warranty claim against it, which is less than 1%.
Right.
And then Dudley, I think you're asking some operational issues too.
We're going to have somebody in there to help somebody like me who hasn't seen.
We're going to be talking about how we're going to run the fitness center at a different meeting.
Okay.
So this is just we'll answer all those questions. Yes, we will. So that will be our operational, which I think is scheduled for. I have it on my calendar. He laughs at me because I always have this in front of me.
She takes that calendar with her.
I like it. I'm very attached to this.
It's in your purse, I think.
I think it's June 6th. We'll talk about operational because we have plenty of time to do that.
I would go through on the kind of the grand opening, whatever, and I would. If you do have a grand opening, we'd certainly help sponsor if you do drinks and food or whatever. But I would go through and. Do a kind of tutorial of how to use everything, kind of get everybody excited about it, and certainly train the staff as well as how to use everything so they can train.
So you can teach Chris and I how to do sit-ups.
Correct. Yeah.
Good question. All right.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Thanks.
Mike, thank you very much, Mike.
Yes.
Very
thank
good
you.
Information.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, so do you like the products we selected for this fitness area? Any questions, any changes? I think we go with the recommendation of the experts, and then, as we heard previously...
We all feel we have a little bit of expertise. Most of us have been through fitness centers of one mm-hmm. form or another, and I think we've done a great job, both in-house and with our consultant, on picking stuff that
Good.
Will be used and enjoyed by our attendees.
Perfect. So I just need this recommendation, and then we'll be good to go on to the next subject.
Well, as chair, I would direct staff, based on the discussion of this committee, to forward the equipment selections for the TACA fitness area as presented to the board for the April 18th regular meeting.
Sorry, that's my job. Member Brooks?
Yes.
Member Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
All right. Okay, the last thing, and it really we don't have to have a lot of discussion, I just want you to start thinking about this, is... As you are aware, when this building was built, the room we're using for our fitness area was named after the prior director. So it's called the Aiken Activity Room. So we would like to bring up for consideration what you would like to name the fitness area and if we would still like to have the Aiken name on that room. So it could be Aiken. It still could be the Aiken Room or it could be the Aiken Fitness Area. That's something to consider.
Or something else entirely.
Something else entirely. I would keep it within the keeping of the building. And
so something like
could be.
Glencoe Community Fitness Area.
So too long.
Shorten it a little bit. Have fewer letters? Okay.
But you could just say fitness area, community center fitness area or something. It's just something you might want to bring up.
Yeah.
But that room was dedicated.
The
so.
Fitness?
AFA.
AFA is what we were going to call it.
Okay,
AFA.
But you get it, the Aiken.
Yeah.
Ah, I didn't get it until right then.
Yeah.
Aiken, you're Aiken.
I think Rod's tenure ended so recently, and his contribution to the community and to the park district was really very long and has left a lasting impact. I would like to be sure that we are doing something to honor his legacy here. I'm not saying it has to be something specific to that room and whatever purpose is in that room, but if we're going to change the name of that room to something else, I would like for us to keep in the back of our minds and consider honoring his legacy or remembering his legacy somewhere else in our system.
I would agree. It is, as Carol said, he was a big advocate for trying to get fitness in this
for
park district.
For getting the community
so,
involved.
Yeah. So, absolutely. Something to think, we don't have really, just think about that a little bit.
So
we don't. We do not have to have a name
AFA
for a while.
Or whatever we want to call
right,
it.
Right, we could call it AFA or shorten it or something. Just think about it, think about other names, so that's what we need to do. The last thing I'd like to bring up is that I need to schedule another special projects meeting. And I know you're going to just shoot me right now, right? Because we broadened the scope of the TAKIF parking lot to add or to do a whole master plan site. They're not able to get that project completed by our next meeting next week. So they have asked if we could do a presentation on the parking lot alone on the 9th. So next week when we, on the 18th, when the special projects meeting at 6 o'clock, we'll just discuss Lakefront Park, which I think is an hour-long discussion anyways.
Okay.
And then we would like to know if we could do another special projects meeting on May 9th just to talk about TAKIF parking.
I'm open.
Yep, okay, well, three out of five, that's good. Okay, so mark in your calendars, we'll send something out on that too. All right.
And that's May 9th at what time, please?
7 o'clock.
Okay.
It seems to work best for you, right? Could do it 6:30 too, but 7 is good.
7 is really
perfect. Because we don't have anything before it. That would be the only thing we discuss, which will be a big discussion, because we'll, you know, it's kind of good that we separate those two anyways. All right, that is all I have, so thank you for your patience.
And the only other thing I wanted to mention, and I'll mention that to Seth and Andre when they see them, but I wanted to mention it to Josh and I'll mention it to Stephanie. We've got some wonderful projects that we're working our way through. Some of them are still relatively early in the planning stages. Last week we saw a presentation on Lakefront Park that might have been a little more expensive than we thought or than we initially had envisioned. I'm not really thinking that we would go to referendum on any of these specific projects that we're doing now. There are other things we might consider drawing on bonding or not even referendum, I meant bonding in the next 5 years. These aren't those. So we might want to consider for the first time in a while, and I think we're overdue, a citizens committee. We did a Friends of Watts when we redid Watts 20 some odd years ago. We had a spectacular Friends of Friends Park thing 25 years ago approximately. And it's really fun to get some of our new families involved, some of the longtime families involved in buying a brick or building part of the thing. So keep in the back of your mind, if you know of people that would be good at organizing a citizens-based committee to help support some of these projects so that we can do them and build a really strong legacy of quality parks.
Excellent. And that's what next, just a reminder, next Tuesday we meet at 6 o'clock for the special projects committee, and that's talked more in detail about it's really the Lakefront Master. It's really Lakefront Master Plan that they presented for the park.
Well, thank you. So,
all right. So,
should we have a formal
Tuesday
to
the board meeting? Motion to adjourn.
Yes, I would recommend a motion to adjourn. Would anyone?
Lisa, motion adjourn. Motion. Steve can second. All in favor?
Yes.
All right. Stop.
I did.